How's it going, Yankee fans? Welcome back to Fireside Yankees with your boys, Alex and Ryan. If you're new to the channel, welcome. If you're older to the channel, make sure to hit that like button for us. We really, really appreciate it if you enjoy the video. As you know, everyday uploads got you guys covered on all Yankees news. Today, we're talking about Juan Soto. Now, John Heyman of the New York Post reported this morning the Yankees are prioritizing Juan Soto's big mega contract extension. And if they didn't, we were probably going to riot. So I'm happy that they're coming around and making sure that we know early. Juan Soto has been different this year, and he's always been different. This is a unique generational player who's playing even better than we expected. If he was playing at what he did last year, we would have been over the moon. He's been even better than that. Ryan has some really good information, really good data to support some tweaks and fundamental changes he's made to support an even better productive season. And man, the Yankees, they're 12-6 for a reason, 13-6 for a reason. With Aaron Judge struggling, with Gleyber Torres struggling, Verdugo had a slow start. Our pitching has been inconsistent. Juan Soto has had a hit in 9 of his last 11 games. He had 3 hits against Toronto, helped fuel that comeback win. The guy's been electric. The guy's been a monster, Ryan. Before we dive into Juan Soto, what he's done for this team, how you doing today, my friend?
I mean, it's hard to argue that there are bad days when Juan Soto's on your ball club, right? Even a loss, just kind of like, it's okay. It's all right. Like, I don't really get as mad at losses as I usually do, or at least as I did last year. And as you mentioned, Juan Soto, I mean, he is truly kind of taking that next step into really, you know, just becoming, I mean, he's already a superstar. He's already a great ball player. He is already all of these superlatives that you want to throw out there. There is nothing you can say about Juan Soto that hasn't been said, I imagine, but somehow, in some way, Alex, he has gotten even better. And when you look at some of the underlying metrics, and we're going to walk through a couple of complex things here, but I'll break it down in ways that make more sense. I'm not going to throw a bunch of nerdy stats and not explain them. But the big thing for me is the improvements in his swing decisions and his quality of contact. Now, there are two ways to measure swing decisions: how often you swing at strikes, or how often you swing at hittable pitches, and how often you lay off of pitches out of the zone, pitches you shouldn't swing at. It's kind of a seesaw, right? You know, you want to be aggressive enough that you take advantage of a middle fastball, but you don't want to be so aggressive that you're chasing pitches and helping pitchers get outs, right? You look at last year, you know, sometimes some hitters would struggle with just kind of giving away outs. Kind of Harrison Bader, he's kind of a hitter who is very aggressive, swings a little bit too much out of zone. But then you look at a guy like, you know, a DJ LeMahieu, let's say, and you might look at him and go, he doesn't swing enough at pitches he should hit. Now, Juan Soto last year had a 35.9% hittable pitch take percentage, which isn't that bad given how passive he is, because he sees so many pitches and he lays off so many pitches out of the zone. This year, he's cut that down by 3% to 33.9%. So he's more aggressive at swinging at hittable pitches. But his chase rate has gone down by 2 percentage points as well. That means he's swinging less out of zone while swinging more at hittable pitches. Alex, that's a pretty impressive development. That's a super impressive feat considering, again, Juan Soto is, it's his first year in New York. He usually struggles in April. His highest OPS in the month of April before this season was 870, a 143 WRC plus for those who prefer WRC plus. This year, his WRC plus is over 200 and his OPS is over 1,000. Now, looking at the quality of contact metrics, exit velocity, barrel rate, his exit velocity is up from 93.2 miles per hour to 96.1 miles an hour. That's Aaron Judge levels of hitting the ball hard. In terms of barrel rate, from 13% to 19.7%, he actually hit the hardest hit ball of any ball he's hit since 2021 when he finished as the runner-up for NL MVP and arguably should have won the award. The driving factor behind that, his bat speed has shot up from 70.9 miles per hour to 73.1 miles per hour. So, Alex, we're talking about a guy who's swinging harder, who's striking out less while swinging harder, who's walking more, who's doing more damage on contact, who's chasing less out of the zone. His pitch recognition has gotten better. He's evolved. Like, it's you took Juan Soto and you just made him better. You took Juan Soto and you upped the raw power tool. You upped the game power tool. He's also hit generating more sweet spots. Sweet spot percentage is a very important metric because it helps you hit for average and helps you, you know, hit over 300, right? His sweet spot percentage went from the 5th percentile to around like the 70th percentile. That's a huge increase. That's massive. So, you know, that's why he went from hitting 242 in 2022 to hitting well over 300 now. Juan Soto has always been a 300 hitter. It just kind of went away from him in 2022 and 2023 because he started hitting way too many ground balls. Now we're seeing more line drive instead of ground balls. Is he hitting a ton of fly balls? No, but that's not Juan Soto's game. His game is hard hit line drives, right? You think of that ball he hit off the wall, that double. It was just this 108 mile per hour seed to center field. I mean, it got there in a hurry. So overall, Alex, I'm looking at the profile. I'm looking at the offense. I'm just saying, he is so much better. He is better at baseball. Juan Soto, who was a top 10 player in baseball, universally considered, not even close, you can't argue he's not, has somehow taken his game to another level. It's a scary thought, Alex, but can you imagine what it's going to look like when Aaron Judge starts clicking?
I actually can imagine because we've seen glimpses of it. And look, we know Judge is going to pick it up. I hope to God that last, that two-run double he hit the other day, you know, really stepped up his game and got him the confidence back that he needs. That dynamic duo, we talked about this before the season started. This was going to be the duo that won us a championship, right? Given the fact that Stanton's been playing so well and Verdugo's been playing excellent over the last 2 weeks and Volpe's been hot in the last two games, obviously not the best yet. He made a lot of good contact in the last game, just didn't get lucky. Soto and Judge can operate in a way, in a level. They can be an entire offense. You know what I mean? This isn't a situation where it's like, oh, you know, they have to, if one of them's not clicking, you know, the other's not clicking, or, you know, they need more guys. Those two guys are an offense in their own respect. Judge, at times in the last 2 years, was the entire Yankee offense. We won games because of him. Now having Soto and him together, I mean, those two guys you're talking about, all you need is average from the rest of the lineup, and you're going to score a stupendous amount of runs. You're going to come back. You're going to show grit and resiliency. That's why I'm so excited. But Soto, you know, Ryan, I'll ask you this, because this has been kind of an interesting development here. He's been pretty good defensively, too. This isn't even a situation where, like, he's known to be one of the worst defensive outfielders in the game. This year, I think he has a positive WAR from it. Like, he has a positive variable. I think he has, one or two defensive runs saved. Why do you think he's been better defensively? Is it just a confidence? Is it something he's been working on, do you think? Is it something that he has prioritized in a contract year, maybe not being as lackadaisical, or maybe just focusing a little bit more in that regard, elevating his game because he knows how important it is? But the defense has certainly been there too, and that's kind of been a mind-boggling situation for us. Like, hold on a second, this guy was supposed to be advertised as one of the worst defenders ever, but hold on a second, he's actually been above average for us. What kind of takeaways do you have from that?
Yes, that's a really good point, Alex, right? Like, Juan Soto was marketed as a poor defender. And don't get me wrong, this wasn't like some, oh my God, this anti-Yankee narrative. No, he had negative 11 outs above average last year and negative 16 in 2022. He was unequivocally one of the worst defensive outfielders in baseball in the 2 years prior to this one. But the thing that's really changed for him, number one, he actually spent the offseason working with Jackie Bradley Jr., and that was reported by Andy Martino. And it was this really interesting piece where Luis Rojas was talking about getting Juan Soto to play with the swagger and confidence he has in the box, but on the field. And he kind of noticed when he throws the guy out, he's showing off the arm. He's like, yeah, I'm like that. You know what I mean? And I think that kind of confidence is so important. If you look at the Yankees as a whole, it feels like they're a much more confident ball club. And I think that translates on the field. But getting back to like the statistical, like, okay, what has actually changed? Number one, the range has improved. He's at one out above average, which that metric is purely a range based number. Last year, -6, -9, year before that, -16. So going from -27 to +1, that's a +28 net swing in your range runs. Like, that's massive. And part of that is his bursts have gotten significantly better. So in terms of relative to the average outfielder, he was -0.1 for his burst and just 0.1 for his jumps. Now he's at +0.7 for his burst. That's a +0.8 swing. That's pretty huge. And a +2.1 for his jumps. Versus in his feet per average, that's a 2 feet swing per average. His reactions have gotten better. He went from 0.9. He's always been consistently really good at reacting, but now he's at +2, one of the best marks in baseball. He's just kind of a smarter defender, it seems. Like, he just seems to be reading the ball a little bit better, being a little more aggressive. I think he was playing a little passive. His routes are still not good, and route running is usually the thing that you can kind of fix, but I'm honestly a little shocked that that's kind of the component that hasn't been fixed. And his arm strength has actually been down a little bit, but I don't think that's because he's I don't think that's a matter of he's not he doesn't have the arm. I think it's a conscious decision to make better throws. If you think of the throw he made to throw out Kevin Kiermaier in that last game, which ended up being a pretty big play because leadoff double, you know, that could have been a run and that could have knocked out Stroman earlier. Maybe you never get the momentum to have that comeback because maybe you're buried in a much deeper deficit. You know, that was like a sub 90 mile per hour throw. The throw that he had with Holmes on the mound in Houston that first game was another sub 90 mile per hour throw. I think he's just more confident and less like, oh my God, I just got to throw the crap out of that thing. It's more like, I know what I got to do. I can go through the motions, make a quick throw. He just doesn't, he doesn't look hesitant out there defensively. How this holds up, we don't know. Defensive data is really interesting, Alex, because we don't really know when it stabilizes. Like, I don't know when I can tell you Juan Soto's defense is legit. I can tell you the exit velocities and swing decisions do stabilize really quickly, so those changes are notable. But I also think right field is just a good ballpark for him. Alex, think of the defenders we've hit out there. Matt Carpenter. Oswaldo Cabrera looked really good in right field, and that's because he was an arm-first defender. The Yankees put, if I'm not mistaken, that's where the Yankees put Stan all the time. I mean, I think it's damning enough that Matt Carpenter, in like his age 39 season, played right field for the Yankees, so... Right field's a pretty easy place in the ballpark to play if you have a really good arm and your range isn't great. So I think it's just a matter of the ballpark fits him well, and he's obviously made some progression. So I think it's like a little bit of a combination of both. And then for the mental side of things, yes, I think he's more confident out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he looks like he's just bleeding confidence. And one of the – I loved when he was up late in the game there. He didn't get that called ball, which was a ball, by the way, and he started walking away. He comes back shaking his head. And then he gets the ball in the next pitch, and he stares down the Toronto's bullpen arm, and he was just like, he just was nodding his head like, you can't touch me. Like, I have your number. I know where this ball is going. You can't convince me to swing at this. Like, the dude's plate discipline, his confidence, the Yankees, I mean, you get chills watching him. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of like what's so cool about Juan Soto, is that in those clutch moments, you're like, this dude has a really good chance of making a positive impact right now. Like higher. Usually I'd say like he has a better chance of doing something positive than getting it out. You know what I mean? Like that's how good this guy looks in those clutch moments. He's born to be in those big time situations, and he's already won a championship. He knows what it feels like to be in the highest leverage situation. So it's awesome. It's great. This is the Yankees team needed this personality. They needed a player like this, some guy that's going to go up there and just torment an opposing pitcher. And then you have to go face Aaron Judge right after. It's absolute mayhem. It's hell. It's like being in hell for opposing guys. So love Juan Soto. I think everyone does at this point. If the Yankees let him walk, we would never forgive Hal Steinbrenner or Brian Cashman. I just personally feel that way. An outfield next year of Judge, Soto, and Spencer Jones and Jason Dominguez, it's going to feed families, guys. It's going to feed families. You know what I mean? Like, give me whatever price I need to pay for a damn chicken bucket, sign me the hell up, because that is an outfield that's worth watch. It's must-see TV every single day. Every day, must-watch TV.
I would burn my wallet on fire for Juan Soto to be a Yankee.
That's what I'm saying. Burn our wallets, sacrifice a goat. I don't know. Whatever it takes to get this guy in the year long-term, we're willing to do it, guys. But as always, make sure to like and subscribe to the video. Make sure to drop your comments in the YouTube comment section. And we'll catch you guys on the next Fireside Yankees episode.
Perfect.